Hello there, and welcome to the podcast. It's John Markar here, and I thought I'd just jump in with a very quick but very important message that I wanted to share with you before you delve into this episode of the Driven Chat podcast. This podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now come to an end. But don't worry, I'm not going to stop you from listening to this episode or from catching up with the 185 episodes that we've recorded in this format. I just wanted to let you know that if you're looking for our new episodes recorded after December 2023, then you'll need to seek out our new podcast, The Driven Podcast. You can find The Driven Podcast in all the usual podcast platforms, including, chances are, the one that you're listening to this one on right now. So please do enjoy this episode, share it with a friend by all means. But when it's done, don't forget to search for the new podcast, The Driven Podcast, and subscribe to the new format to hear the new stuff. To make life easy, head on over to the Driven website via driven.site. There you will find links through to the new podcast, including links to your preferred podcast platform. And hey, whilst you're there, why not check out everything else we do, including hand-picked automotive news stories, car and bike reviews, video features, and even more. For now, though, I'll let you enjoy this episode, and I will remind you again at the end of the episode, but for the future reference, this message is approximately 1 minute and 30 seconds long. That's 6 clicks on the 15-second skip button. Enjoy!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital. You dream it, we bring it to life. Find out more at drivenchat.com.
Hey, welcome to Driven Chat. I'm Andy Jay, and this is the only automotive show coming to you from the back of a lorry parked up at Caffeine and Machine. And we have something very special for you today. Well,
actually, I'll stop you there, Andy, because it's a bit of a takeover today. Myself, Drew Pritchard from Salvage Hunters, three men, four wheels and various other stuff, and my pal Marino Franchitti are here to take over the show, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I say your name right then?
It was very good.
That was good, wasn't
And you didn't
it?
Do it in a Scottish accent.
I know.
You
always normally I slipped back into it then straight. Hello, hi, how are you? we're here as opposed to Brewer. We're sort of stunt brewers, aren't we, really, for the
stunt
day?
Stunt brewers and Amy Shaw. There's no Amy, there's no Mike this week. John Markar, of course, is here.
I'm here.
Looking exhausted, John.
Yeah, it's. I've had a busy past couple of days, yeah.
Well, we're going to get into that in a second, but just to clarify, as Drew has just asserted, we have a three-man four-wheels takeover. We're going to learn more about three-man four-wheels shortly, but in a nutshell, Marino, what is it?
I was hoping you were going to do that, but you normally do that.
Marino,
it's you, me, and Drew, and cars.
It's the three of us,
and we
and
argue
cars.
About the cars, and we drive the cars, and we look at the cars, and we talk about the cars, and we find out from people that were involved in the cars why they like the cars. So, us, cars.
Yeah, it's a new TV show. It's out on Quest.
He's simplified it somewhat there. So it's the three of us arguing about cars and the cars that we chose ourselves from hot rods to Formula One cars through, Grand Prix cars, pre-war Grand Prix cars, to rally cars, to sports cars, to Le Mans cars.
Le Mans cars.
Le Mans.
I'm from the Mans car.
Le Mans.
What are you looking for?
Le Mans. It's Le Mans.
Le Mans was a killer song, wasn't it? From the Killers. Right, look, we're going to get onto Three Men, Four Wheels in a bit. The key thing that you need to know, dear listener, is it's available on Quest 9 o'clock Thursday nights. Yeah, plug sorted.
And we are done. Did you say 9 o'clock Thursday night?
Yeah.
On Quest.
On Quest.
And that's council telly, so it's free. For all my tight Scottish friends that are listening, you don't have to pay for it.
That's free. Anybody can watch it.
More on Three Men, Four Wheels, which is on Quest on Thursday night, 9 o'clock. A little bit. I'll see how many times we can fit it in. I mentioned Mr. Markar here. Looks exhausted. Tanned as ever, which is really starting to get on my grinding gears. But thankfully exhausted because, John, you are just back from what?
I am just back from a little drive that we titled the Bentley Sun Run. Now, last weekend, it was, or just after the weekend, it was summer solstice, the 21st, the longest day of the year. And I decided what I would like to do is try and drive for the most daylight hours, i.e. from the point of sunrise at the earliest time to the point of sunset at the latest time. Now, the earliest time, of course, is the most northeasterly point of the United Kingdom, which is John O'Groats in Scotland. And the sunset time is the furthest southwest, and that, of course, is Land's End. So,
which, if I'm right, John, that's about 837 miles.
It is exactly 837 miles. Yes, it is. So, I got in contact with our friends at Bentley and said, I've got this idea. Don't know if there's any legs on it. And bear in mind, this was only a week or so ago. So I almost expected them to say, lovely idea, maybe next year. And they replied within half an hour and said, wow, that sounds fantastic. We're sending you a Bentley Continental GT right now.
And it's a very nice one, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah, it's a Continental GT V8 Mulliner pack. So it's got lots of really, really lovely posh options. And they very kindly included the spec list and the retail price. And it's £183,792, I believe.
I think Drew's getting paid more than we are. He's got one of those in the car park.
I have got that, the older version, but yes. I've got the GT V8S Mulliner.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just need to talk you through some of Drew Pritchard's facial expressions as John was referencing, firstly, the drive. So John starts off with going, well, we're going to drive from sunrise to sunset. Drew looked like, well, like an angry bull, sort of a horrified angry bull. And then you mentioned Bentley, and he starts to get slightly more impressed. And then you mentioned the price of Bentley, and now he's sort of checkbook out.
There's three things going on here. 800 and something miles, I can do that standing on my head. That's like normal. Mm. That's nothing. That's nothing for an antique dealer, trust me. The price of the brand new Bentley, that's fine. I didn't mind buying mine brand new. I got mine for half that.
Wow.
That's less than half that. Considerably less than
Marino's
half
that. Marino's just shot me the greatest smile, guys.
What else was there? Yeah. I've got one, and I absolutely love it.
Talk
it's
about
a fantastic
an achievement takedown. Right, John is sitting here
it's
exhausted.
It's not that far. It's not that far.
He got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do this drive.
Did you
and you're
you
sitting there going,
so
I've got one of those.
Literally,
let's not
like
forget
a,
the,
nothing.
Let's not forget the fact that I don't live in John O'Groats, so I had to drive for quite a long time to get there and then drive home from Cornwall.
Really?
Oh. Well, I thought it was
nothing.
Good. No, okay.
Well. Nothing. We're going to have to go back through that. There's definitely a point right at the end of his monologue on his Bentley that you went accidental partridge. I'm going to find
Did
it.
I?
I'm going to send
I
it.
I keep doing it. I keep doing it. And I am literally turning into Alan Partridge. And how on a daily basis?
Talk me through the. How did you pay half the price?
Because he's tight.
I'm clever. I prefer, but tight. Unless I'm a mix of the two. Don't buy new. I bought used.
Right, gotcha.
I bought it from Bentley Manchester.
It got. And here's the thing, John. Only 600,000 miles on the clock, so he's done really well.
7,000 miles on the clock. One owner, absolutely as new.
Oh, you've done the right thing there. Yeah.
I just look. It's Bentley, my job. It's my job to find a bargain. You know, that's my job. As soon as I saw the GTC, the first one, I was like, I have to have one of those. Mm. I think it's a really genuinely beautiful car, and I think they've aged very well.
Yes.
Mine is the Series 1, unfortunately not like me, but mine is the Series 1 sort of facelift.
Yes, that's
yours,
right.
The one you were driving was the sort of the brand new spanky
tis,
one, wasn't
yeah.
it? But the Mulliner specification for me was the one I wanted.
Yeah.
But obviously, as you know, all my cars are all black, but...
Just explain what the Mulliner spec means, John. What's the how much extra do you get for that?
It's a lot of cosmetics. So you've got a lot of options inside, things like massaging, heated, air conditioned seats with an air scarf. Has yours got the air scarf?
No.
Oh, so mine's got the air scarf, which is this. The best way to describe it is if you've got the roof down, you've got your heated seat on. There's an extra.
Oh no!
Button,
sorry, it has got that.
And it's like somebody sat behind that. You with a hairdryer just blowing it at the back of your neck.
We don't have any hair, so that doesn't.
I use it a lot. I have to say, of all the cars I own and of all the cars I've had, it's my favourite.
It's
now,
a wonderful
hang
thing.
On, now let's quantify that as well, Drew, because we've established this. It's not even a joke anymore. You're a very, very, very old man, and you've been buying cars. You've been buying cars for an incredibly long time.
Since Henry Ford first went into business.
That's it. I mean, you make Fred Flintstone look like a car dealer. But how many cars have you owned? Because to say this is the greatest car you've ever owned, I mean, what are we looking at? Thousands of cars?
No. I think I'm into the sort of 300, 350 cars.
That's a lot of cars.
Oh, I think I'm somewhere around there. I mean, I had 100
100 air-cooled Volkswagens.
Wow.
I was just about to say it again. I've had 15 old 911s. I get bored with them, and I sort of think, oh, let's try that one and try that one. It's like you know, trying to find a nice wine or a nice cheese or a good restaurant. You want to try them all. Try them all. You know, and you've got to try them all.
You can tell that you have.
I have tried all of the wine and all the cheese. But yeah, I just wanted to find all these different cars. And then every now and again, one sticks with you and you go, that's exactly what I wanted from that car. That's what I expected from that car. And that's what I love about that car. And the Bentley does that for me. It's phenomenal.
Why? What's so good about it?
It's the display. It's the space in your head it takes you to when you're driving it. Performance-wise, you know, it's blisteringly fast as well for something that weighs, you know, tons, right? It's incredibly cosseting, and you feel damn good driving around in it. You know, it's your own little world when you're driving around it. And, you know, I really love the quality. Just the quality of the build on mine.
Because it is so premium, is it?
It's so good. It's so good. It really is. It's beautifully put together. It really is. It's absolutely a fabulous thing. I cannot fault it at all.
You see, but respectfully, that's the sort of thing I would expect a gentleman of your stature to be saying about a car like that. John, you're 7 or 8 decades younger than me. So you've obviously got a different view on it.
Yeah.
Has it taken you by surprise in the same way that it's impressed Drew?
Yes, I'd say it has, actually. It's one of these cars that for years, even since the first, if we hark back to when Volkswagen first took over Bentley ownership and they came up with the first Continental, the similar shape that we know of, which is early noughties now, isn't it? I think it was always regarded as a very, very good car. And of course, what they've done is they've refined it over those years. Now, I'm probably not the target market for a Bentley Continental GT. I am still far more excited by BMW M3s and things like that. However, we've done something like 1,700 miles I've done in that car over the past 3 days, and I'm really struggling now to think of a car that would have been better for that journey.
Are you going to miss it?
Yes, I am.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Marino, you sit in the middle of these two. You're older than John. You're much younger than Drew. What's your view? Well, let's just close up the conversation about them, because Clarkson has cited it as the greatest car he's ever driven. Drew's asserting that it's amazing. John loves it now, which really did win you over, to be fair, John, which kind of surprised me. But you're the man that's probably best positioned to be able to give us a steer on it, because you're a racing driver.
I certainly wouldn't listen to racing drivers mostly. They don't know what they're talking about. But I do love cars, and I think I've always loved the shape of them. The first time I ever got in one, I was blown away, first of all, by the performance, but also the quality of everything. Mm. The lack of noise, the weight of all of the controls. It's an amazing car.
Mm. It is.
It's something that I would quite happily drive every day.
And I do, since I've had it, right? I've hardly used any of the other cars. If it's not atrocious weather, I've already taken to not using it in bad weather. You know, 'cause I like it so much, I won't take it out in bad weather. But otherwise, I'll use it constantly. It's fantastic. I went out buying it the other day. I had all the back seats full of antiques I was buying. I did, and it is a tour de force. And the more I look at it, and the more I live with it, the better the car gets.
Now, Marino and I know Drew really quite well now, and so
better than we ever wanted to.
to hear you being so enthusiastic about something means it really is good, because you're so rare to praise things. That's a big deal.
My job is to A, find the beauty in something, and then B, to understand quality. That's what I do in the antiques world. That's what I do with everything that I do. It's involved with the visuals and the quality and the long-lasting, you know, appeal of something. And it has it. It just has it. It's just got it. It's an absolute classic. But it's something you can use every day. And if you buy a used one like me, particularly, I'd only buy through Bentley myself. You know, buy smart, you know, and the thing will last you forever. And I'm not bothered about putting the mileage on. And yes, I'm losing, you know, I've got depreciation. This, that. Do you know what? Every now and again, you just have to bite it and go, it's worth it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You were both arguing about somebody's Porsche's in bits. Whose Porsche's in bits?
Well, I think both our Porsches are in bits, but yeah. I think I'm winning the my car's in kit form.
In most bits.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
They're at Tuthill's.
Richard Tuthill.
Oh, right.
Basically, I thought, my 997, I daily it, and it's 10 years. It's 9 years old, and I thought it could do a little bit of a birthday.
Mm.
And I said to Richard, "Just do what needs doing. Don't."
So you should never keeps, say that to.
I know, but he keeps sending me. He's a very good friend of mine, and he is. Every time I see it, I keep expecting there to be more bits on it, and there's less. So
well, now him being a friend of yours makes it worse, though, because he'll be like, Marino won't mind.
Yeah, Marino doesn't.
It's going to be another 6 months.
It'll be amazing when it comes back.
I have to be honest, I saw the picture last night on Instagram, and I didn't know that was your car, and I thought they were breaking it for parts.
He might be.
I thought, look at the state of that, it's in a million bits.
Well, he wanted it was an oil change.
Well, I was looking at the picture because I was trying to see mine. Mine wasn't in the picture. Mine's a much earlier, a 68. Short wheelbase, and it went in. Marino got me in there, thank God, to get the work done to it. And then Mr. Tuthill rang me and he said, "Do you know what? There's hardly anything wrong with this car. So it's really, really good." And I said, "Well, I need the heating operation and all the ventilation to work a little bit better." Mm-hmm. It's because they're always a bit temperamental.
You wanted massage seats.
I wanted massaging seats and aircon. We're going to get the brakes modified as well, so it's going to have a different set of brakes on it. Quick shift gear linkage on it, and then I wanted electronic ignition. That's all I really wanted to. And then he did a list of other stuff for me. And it came back, and I said, okay, just send me the quote for the work that was needed. And I budgeted about $5,000. It came at 37,000 quid.
Ooh, wow.
Because he said he wanted to pull the engine and refresh the engine, and I don't want to spend that much money on the car. I mean, I'm absolutely happy. He was one of the people that I would want to touch that 911 for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100%, one of the oldest specialists in early 911s in the country. But I don't want to spend quite that much money on it yet.
How much are you going to let him spend?
I'm going to do the brakes. I'm going to modify the brakes because the brakes on the early cars, they're not great, are they?
They're not. And he's got his own brake kit that he's done. They're not.
I think it's a 993, 964 parts, I think.
He does his own.
Oh, does it? Is it his own?
It's his own Tuthill setup. And it's my brother put it on his hot rod. They're fantastic.
Yeah, well, it definitely needs that. I'm changing the driver's seat to I've got the original low back seats because mine's a 911T. So it's the sort of base model, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's got no high, the seats are incredibly basic. They're like big Karmann gear seats, really. So I'm putting a driver's seat in it, a better 911S driver's seat in it, and a quick shift gear change and electronic ignition.
There's a rumour, Drew, and I've never asked you this actually, but while we're recording, I might as well. Is it true that in all your cars, you get a smaller seat fitted to make you feel like a sort of normal sized man? Is that the...
Not anymore, because I've got to get the Pritchard curry and lager backside into the seat, so I have to have the curry specification to get myself in there. No, well, I mean, predominantly, I drive the cars myself.
Yeah.
So, I just want one seat's fine. One seat's fine for that car. And that's the one car I really want to hang on to very, very long term.
You say this about all your cars.
I can't help it. I've bought and sold thousands of cars, and now I'm now at the start of going right. I'm keeping cars now. Some of them might have to go for a project that I'm doing at the moment, but I think that would be the last one to go.
In your defence, this is the third time you've joined us for Driven Chat podcast, and each episode you have said that same thing.
Yeah.
So. I believe you.
The car always comes up.
Yeah. Neither do I. Marino, while we're on the subject of Porsches, right?
Yes.
Can I, because we haven't spoken about this properly, at least on the record, and I realise there's some things that you can't say, and I acknowledge that from the outset, but if you're okay with me telling the audience that you are a test driver for Singer Porsche, which is really very cool.
That's very, very cool. Isn't that cool?
It's really cool.
What do you do? Well, I'm the test driver for Singer Porsche. You know, that so, is...
I'll tell you what, let's interview Drew as Marino to see what answers he
gives. He can definitely do it. I can be his voice stunt double.
Yeah.
So with just
what
on
does
that,
it mean?
Yeah, are you developing as well, or is it, are you just getting in and saying what's good and what's bad, or are you do you have a good a direct input into the engineering?
Well, I am no engineer, as it's been proven many times, but yes, I do. As part of, I'm the main test driver. So Mazen Fawaz, who's the one of the owners at Singer and partner with Rob, he does it. Chris Harris jumps in and out regularly. Richard Tuttle jumps in and out. But I'm driving. I'm there most of the time. And, yes, it's really how the car drives, how it feels. I don't like this. I like that. And just constantly critiquing stuff, moaning about stuff, basically, until they fix it.
So if you take if you take the car out now, you were going to come here in the car.
I was going to come here in DLS,
So if you go back in and say, actually, it's just making a little bit noise, or it's a bit too much here, do you just basically do that thing where you just describe it?
I do. It feels like this. It feels sometimes I can be specific, like it feels like this is causing X, Y, or Z. But other times it's like, I don't know why it's doing this, but this is what it's doing and I want it to do this.
It's like Tom Cruise in that film, he's a racing driver, isn't he? He did the same thing. He goes, I don't know what to describe how it is, but it does that.
Yeah.
So that's what you do.
Yeah. So and it's with DLS, I mean, we will have it at Goodwood Festival Speed, which is happening. Fantastic.
Brilliant.
And the car is finished, so it's just final little tweaks, and the dampers are very easy to adjust, so it's just making sure the range is nice. And I was out yesterday in the wet in the car, and it blows my mind every single time. I mean, if you follow Chris Harris or myself on social media, he put up a video last week which he recorded when he had the car out, and
I saw that.
It's mental. And to be honest, the exhaust valves weren't working right at that point. It sounds even better.
Is this the 4-litre one?
This is the 500 horsepower, 4-litre, four-valve head. That's the thing. The normally aspirated air-cooled 911 engine with a four-valve head, which they'd managed to do on turbo engines, but no one's ever successfully done it on a normally aspirated air-cooled 911
So you're doing something to a 911 that Porsche couldn't do.
It's not that they couldn't do it. It's just that we now have the technology and the materials to be able to do that.
Wow. Now, one of the things that the layman like me probably knows is that not only are Singer Porsches absolutely gorgeous, I mean, they're knockout, they're also phenomenally expensive. I mean, we won't talk prices because they're all very different price range, but you could walk in with $100,000 and you've got no chance of getting anything. I think that's fair to say, isn't it? That's
no chance.
No chance of getting $100,000 Singer Porsche. So, with that in mind, Marino, what's it like developing some of these cars that you know are so expensive and you then have to give them back? You're not going to be allowed to buy that car that you've spent so long developing, putting time, effort and passion in. Is it a little bit frustrating?
It's not frustrating. It's sad because I love the car so much and I am going to miss it. But I will drive every single one that we build. So the 75 cars that we're building, I will drive every single one before they goes to the customer. And there's a couple of customers that, having described this to them and seen my little face, they said, yeah, you can come and drive anytime you want. So
that's nice.
I will definitely be...
They've got orders for 75 cars.
Yeah, they're only building 75. They're all gone. Right. So,
but also, I think there's something quite nice about that as well. There's that. This is often a discussion that goes around the journalist circuits where journalists get the opportunity to drive these fabulous cars. Prime example, there's the Bentley that's parked outside that I've just been driving around in. £183,000 worth of car. I love the fact that I can drive that car and then hand it back and then not have to worry about the servicing bills, the depreciation cost, the kind of thing Drew has to worry about with with his Continental. And do you find that as well? You get the experience, Marino, of driving these amazing cars, but then without any of that follow-up grief of cost, expense, losses, repairs.
There's two sides to that coin. There's that. But I certainly think if it's a manufacturer car, you don't feel so bad about it. But when it's someone else's car, I treat it like it's my own just because I don't want to cause them any expense. But there's also the other side of the coin where there's a joy in owning a car and living with it and being your possession. Mm. I think with Singer, the DLS is so far out of my cost range, I could never have one. But I do have the dream of having a classic. Mm-hmm. And I had Singer Monaco, which was a car that Ed Lovett had built, and we actually have it. Singer own it now, and
we have it in the UK, and I had it just to, it was basically like to clean my palate before we got into the final tune on DLS, just to reacquaint myself with it. So I had it for a week, and I did, I think, like 1,300 kilometers in it.
Okay.
And I drove it everywhere, and I, it was one of the first time in many years that I was just getting up to go driving. I would just, any excuse to go anywhere.
And yeah, when's the last time anybody did that?
Yeah, and it's a car that I've been obsessed with the Singer Classic since I saw one, and it just reminded me how special it is and how much I have to have one. So that is my
interesting.
You're talking about the dream car. I would have one of those, and I would drive it every single
day. So just to sorry to keep jumping in on the same questions here, but let's go back to the basics on this. There'll be a lot of people listening who know exactly what a Singer is. There'll be another big contingent of people that will be listening that will be saying, yeah, but it is just a really expensive custom 911. Surely if I've got an old 911, I can go and put better wheels on it and lower it slightly and change the interior and make it look a bit posher. What is it that makes the Singers just so good and worth that extra cash?
I think the saying of Singer, of everything's important, what Rob says about the car, the detail is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you like cars, you don't. When you see them and you see the detail, even if you haven't driven it, it's so special.
Uh-huh.
But then it's how it drives. It gives me all of the feelings I want from an old 911. Some of the feelings I have from a modern 911. Everything's brand new and, you know, carbon body, everything else. It just ticks every single box for me. So the things I want from a classic, things I want from modern, it just covers everything, and there's just joy in driving it. There's just pure joy. It's small, it's a 964 underneath, and I think you see there's a couple of companies out there that, and there's so many amazing people hot rodding Porsches. This is not Singer are not,
yeah, they're not the only people doing it.
They should be the only people doing it, but there's a couple out there that have just ripped off what Singer have done, and they do it really badly, and it looks okay. And then you see it close up, and it's just
Singer
not,
look.
It's just not good.
Yeah, that in a classified look. Advert is a common thing. Is it looks like a Singer.
Yeah.
But I like the way you answered that question, because you could have said, well, because it's made of carbon fiber, and because we've put £30,000 worth of suspension on it, and this costs this, and this costs this. The answer of it, it's just great.
It's just the way it makes you feel.
Yeah.
It's the way it makes you feel. Forget about everything else. It's how it makes you feel. It's my 8-year-old, who is lucky enough to get, you know, he's been in a lot of very special cars, and he just, we did the school running it every day. He just wanted to be in it all the time with me.
Amazing.
So, yeah, a car that makes you feel like that is, what more do you want?
Oh, yeah.
Just the early, just having an early car myself, I'll park it and I'll stand back and look, and I'll walk away from it, and I always stand back and look at it.
Yeah.
You know, because it is a beautiful thing. But I always look at it and think, I wish it drove like my 993.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wish the brakes were as good as a 997.
Yeah.
So you're sort of getting the best of both worlds with the build quality. I've sat in one Singer and had a good look round and one other. And yeah, the quality's mind blowing. Wow. Particularly the interior finishes are quite incredible.
John, that reminds me of, do you remember at the Silverstone Classic?
Oh my
several
goodness
years
me.
Ago. We were at the Porsche Owners Club doing something. And there was some guy.
Oh God.
Who had, I can't even remember who it is now, but he had done not a Singer Porsche, but he had done some kind of
yeah
a Minger.
He'd done something obviously quite nice.
It was a half decent smart looking thing.
But so this guy was trying to sell it to me, and as soon as there's a drone, that's a drone. The noise. Yeah, there's a drone in the background. That's our
drone.
That's our drone
really
flying
exciting,
around us
yeah.
at the moment. And so I knew immediately that this guy was going to do the sales pitch to me, and it was going to be, you know, when you know this guy's going to go on and on and on and on, and I just didn't have time for it. I was filming stuff.
And photo. I'm going to look it up now.
Yeah, look it up, because you're bound to. So I told him, because I'd spotted John in the corner of the room, and I said, look, I'll be straight with you. I can't afford this. So you're about to give me the patter, and it's wasted on me. But that guy over there, I know him really well. Not only can he afford it, he's looking for one just like this. And then I went, John, come and have a look at this. How long did he chat to you for?
Oh, my God. It must have been a 40-minute pitch.
Did he have a nasal?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I think
you'll find you've done that wrong, haven't you?
I think he was wearing corduroy trousers from memory.
Really? Was he called Brian?
It was something Brian or Nigel or Keith.
Sorry,
yeah,
Nigel.
It was. In fairness to him,
his second car, didn't he?
In fairness to him, it was a half decent looking product, but I distinctly remember him saying the words, you know, it's a bit like a Singer, but
not
only 2/3 of the price. And you think, well there, you've just undone everything. It's a bit like, you know, you don't walk into Mercedes Benz and go, hey, it's a bit like the 3 Series BM, just a bit cheaper. Because you'd get sacked immediately, wouldn't you? But that was the way that he described this particular car. Yes, yeah, so I deleted that memory from my mind until you mentioned that. I'd looked through my pictures. I can see the ex-girlfriend I was with on the day. We've got photos of her on that day, but not the car for some reason. I was clearly very keen to get away from it.
Yeah, because you did take a few shots as he was talking you through it.
Yes, I
did. I was just sitting there chuckling to myself.
It does seem like Attack of the Drones.
It does, isn't it? It's an aggressive sounding thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably best on a radio show to not say that you've still got pictures of your ex-girlfriend in case your current girlfriend listens to this one.
Don't worry, she doesn't listen.
No worries about that whatsoever. Hello, Anna, if you're listening.
Anna's great. She does listen. She's lovely. I don't know, I'm just making it up. Just trying to unnerve you now.
Just one thing at the end of this whole Singer thing. The brand, right? To create a brand that's made such an impact.
Can you do this in Marino's voice?
To create a brand that's created such a massive impact in the 9/11 world is exceptional. And there's something that...
Sounds like that guy that does the Coast programs.
Do you like this rock? You know, it's... they've created a brand, right, that is synonymous with quality and performance, and they've made it massively valuable.
And you know how they've done it? By not trying to create a brand.
I know, unbelievably.
Like, I heard something the other day. I read something on the other day. Somebody going on something like it's going to be something that decides what's cool and what's not. And I'm like, you've lost it right there.
Yeah.
If you're trying to decide what's cool and what's not, you've lost it.
Yeah. If you have to say, is that cool?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very, very good point. Yeah. The minute you have to explain it or tell somebody why it's a good thing, you've lost the game.
Yeah.
Drew, why haven't you got one yet?
Because they are hundreds of thousands of pounds. I would love one. Can I be honest with you? I'd absolutely love one. If I could afford one, I would buy one.
But you have
to have a lot of disposable income for one of those puppies.
Rather than giving us the specifics of the vehicles, how many cars are currently in the Pritchard fleet right now? How many vehicles have you got?
You've
got 10, right. So let's say you sold 8 of them.
Yeah.
You keep the Bentley, you keep the 911 that you have. You sell the other 8.
Yeah.
You could trade that in for a Singer.
No. I wouldn't even get a third of the way.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're pricey little things. But you can see where the money goes and how many hours of testing, 4,000 hours of testing, hand-built XYZ. You know, and you do get, let's be honest, that, you know, the silhouette of the early 911 is a thing of utter beauty. Mm. And it isn't like, say, a GTO or a lot of the other Ferraris and Bugattis. It's achievable. You know, and it's usable, and I think that's where they've got a thing that's utterly gorgeous. You can use it every day, and then they've added this Singer factor, which, you know, and people now crave after that.
And Marino's tested it for you.
And Marino's driving it. I mean, you know, and then you've got Ruff who were doing.
So they were nearly there. They were nearly there, and then you got me in this mix.
But you know, was it Aldous? Is it Aldous Ruff? Ruff. Is he still building?
His cars though are they're amazing. They're beautiful, he's got his own VIN numbers. He gets chassis from Porsche.
Yeah, he does.
He's like the OG. He's just incredible, the work that they do. And there's so many. The thing is, Porsche, so many beautiful creations out there that people do. We're talking about people tuning cars or hot rodding them or doing whatever you want. Porsches, you can do what you like to them. And it generally always works out.
Yeah.
People do get it wrong, but it's very rare.
Or you can just get one and just drive it. And drive it and drive it and then just fix it and look after it. My 997, I said I've done 75,000 miles in that car.
Wow.
And it is fantastic. And it's hardly modified. It's got an exhaust on it and just a different breathing on it. That's it. Just a phenomenal. They, you know, as a product, it's just a product straight out of the box. It's going to work for a very, very long time. And I have to be honest, it's getting better.
Yeah.
It's getting better to drive.
Mine is my 997. The more miles I put on it, the better it gets.
Yeah. So yours, you mentioned yours is in with Tuthill as well at the moment. Is that just? I imagine it's suspension bushes and things.
I just wanted to redo the bushings, tighten up a bit. It's I've had it 6 years now, 7 years.
and it's a 997 Carrefour GTS.
Yeah.
Old man spec, PDK, four-wheel drive.
Great.
I got my friend Brian at Rotiform made these lovely wheels for it, the suspension, put a pipe on it. The suspension, actually, there's this company XTC that do the dampers for DLS. And I was so impressed. I got Tuttle to do some for my...
Just where we're on here, what's amazing. DLS?
Pardon?
What does DLS mean?
Design and Lightweight Study.
There you go. I like that.
Design and Lightweight
Study. Design, it's a Design and Lightweight Study.
Look at me doing
it. Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Anyway, my
freedom! Again, it's sorry, it just came out.
But it's like the car, make the car you make a car your own, don't you? In the 997, that's my daily...
This is the one you used to drive to Channel 5 when we did Formula E together.
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
Mm. It's a lovely old thing. I love it.
Now, we've made it very clear about opinions on cars here, and we should probably lead into the main focus of this conversation, which is people having preference on cars, perhaps for a television show that people can watch. How's that for a rubbish segue?
Look at that for a seamless segue. That's right. Yeah, well, you're
9 p.m. Thursday's Quest. On your preview, Sky, Virgin, and everywhere else.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, no, the three of us, Drew Pritchard, Marino Franchitti, and I, well, we had a lot of fun together towards the tail end of last year.
Then we made creating a TV show.
creating 10 episodes of televisual happiness called Three Men, Four Wheels. And we're very proud of it. It's a cute little show. It's available now. It's out every Thursday night, and it's repeated on several other occasions, which we can go into. And Drew, tell us about the show.
Oh, the show came about from the three of us. Not really. Well, you guys knew each other a bit, and I didn't know each of you.
Marino and I knew
all.
Each other really well.
And we got dumped in a cafe in the south of France in a very glamorous location very early in the morning. And we were just chatting away, and we started talking about cars. And surprise, surprise, we started talking about old 911s. And then we just started not arguing, but having an informed discussion about that. And we just got on. And I thought, this is great. I'm having a good time. And then we wandered around the pits, and I was geeking out on Type 57 and 59 Bugattis and Lotus.
T35s,
ERAs. You know, there was all sorts of auto unions. You know, there was all sorts of stuff there. And I was like, I was just in heaven. And you guys actually listened to what I said and were listening to me and going, oh, yeah, all right, okay. And it was just good fun. And then I think it was Andy just turned around to us and said, we should do more with this. And it's like, and then we sort of spent a year talking about it and chatting about it. And then we went for a curry and came up with a definitive idea after the motor show in London, Classic Motor Show. And then we made the program, and we made our program. And I'm incredibly happy with it. I've done enough TV to know when it's good. And this was just good straight out of the bag. And I've got a couple of very special memories from it, which you can never take those away. And I'm hoping that comes across on screen.
What were they?
There was two, in fact. There was one when we were at ProDrive. Marino got into the Subaru.
Got in Colin's car.
And it was just special to be around Colin's car, because as a fan of the guy, of the man, of the pure driving joy that he was. Because I've never seen anybody drive a car like that guy. I've never seen anybody drive a car like that. It just blew my mind. And I even described to you that moment I watched him on screen, driving through the forest at night in snow on a single track, and the car was just clipping and bouncing off the things. And then Marino got in that and just went into this thing, because they were friends of the family and they were all mates, and that was a special thing when you sort of said, come on, leave him to it.
Give him a moment.
There was that one. There was sat there, there's three actually, sorry, excuse me, but there were three. Sorry, I'll just throw another one in. We sat there in Paddy Hopkirk's garden.
Oh, I love Paddy.
Right.
Monte Carlo winning
and
Paddy legend.
He just started telling us stories. And he told us a few stories, and he goes, I've never told anybody that. And I saw him, I believe him, because I love him. I thought he was fantastic.
He had some amazing stories.
Amazing stories.
Yeah, he was getting stuff out of his house to show us as well that we didn't put in the show. Like he had a signed letter from the Beatles when he won the
photograph of him and the Beatles.
Telegram.
Yeah. Telegram, that's right. Yeah. But from all of them. So Ringo, John, Paul, George. And it was just, and he was
famously,
so nonchalant
about it. He said very famously, they'd written on it, you're one of us now.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that's
lovely.
And then he asked me to value it. And I got within $2,000 of the agreed value, so I was quite pleased with myself.
Really?
Yeah. But that was a special moment, sitting in his garden doing that. And then a next
what a house
one
as well,
this house.
Marino nearly bought his house.
You guys were trying to get me to buy his house. No way. You should buy that house. But then the next one, we were at Anglesey on the racetrack, and we're in, you know, my all-time favourite car is the T35 Bugatti of Nick Mason's. And Marino knew how special this was to me. And we went over the brow of the hill before you get down into the chicane, the corkscrew, whatever. And he just looked at me and he just fist pumped me.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was like, that I won't forget.
That was biblical.
That was.
Oh. We came over the crest. And
the sun was out, wasn't it?
The sea was really angry and the sun was just breaking through the clouds.
Beautiful.
And it was
mega. Special,
so
a special moment.
The stove bowl as well. You've missed the fourth because when you got the stove bowl special for the first time, you're one of your ultimate cars, and to see your interactions with that car for me was that was very special.
I didn't I didn't want to hog the floor, that's why I left the stove bowl out.
You know, it's interesting sat here looking at the three of you as you're talking about this, because I out of the four of us in this room right now, I'm the only person that has no involvement at all in the show from production side at all. Oh, I am purely a viewer. I have watched every episode when it was on Discovery Plus and the on-demand service, and now, of course, it's coming out on Quest, which means a lot more people are about to see it. And what is really interesting is watching the three of you reminisce over these memories and almost getting a bit glassy-eyed.
Oh,
with some
I am,
it.
Definitely.
It,
I'll go.
Yeah, I think all three of us could quite easily go.
And isn't that bizarre? Bizarre, perhaps the wrong word to use, but isn't that one of the most fantastic and magical things about cars?
Yeah.
Things with engines, motorcycles, cars, speedboats in some cases. Isn't it incredible how something which is ultimately a bit of metal with another bit of metal inside that makes fire and bangs and sucks in air and blows out fire, that can evoke real, genuine emotion in people?
A car is emotion.
Yeah.
I think a car is, the older the cars they are emotion, because they were generally, the older cars were thought out by one or two or three people, you know, and it was their raw enthusiasm and knowledge that wanted to build this particular thing.
Mm.
And that's what I think we all pick up on. You know, you might love Lancias or Ferrari or Porsche or Mazda or Ford or whatever.
Morgan
even, you know, and you could, you know, but you'll pick up on the mindset of the guy who put that thing together, and and you'll emote to that. You know, you will feel something similar to what that guy who put that car together originally in his head.
Yeah,
I think that's why certain cars are much more popular than others.
And that's the thing with the show, is because we were choosing cars that we love. I mean, the premise of the show is three mates try and present a case for why a car should be considered one of the ultimate race cars of all time.
Yeah.
That's the basic premise. And each episode, one of us champions a car, and we have to win over the other two. And sometimes it's a slam dunk. It's a simple one because we automatically already have a connection with it or we love it. And other times you have to wheel out the big guns, like, come on, let's go and sit in Paddy Hopkirk's garden because I need to convince you that this is an amazing vehicle.
But
we have to do things like that.
But it's also the three of us together. It can be any car. It could be any car, but the three of us together with it,
we'll have an opinion.
It's funny. It's like getting here today. We haven't seen each other in person for a few months.
Yeah, it's been too long.
And it's literally get out of the car today, the three of us, and it's just like,
yeah,
we're back. Give us a camera.
Marino immediately started taking the piss out of me. I hadn't even spoken to him.
No, but you look so much older, Drew. That's the thing.
I feel it.
You've aged.
I feel it's my birthday tomorrow as well.
Oh, wow.
63.
Please send gifts.
63.
64. Yeah. But no, you know, some things. When we did the Monaco Historics, which I really hope we can go back to do for Quest again. You know, lightning struck. You know, I've had it three times in my unwanted TV career. TV happened to me, really, more than me going after it. And I had it with me and T when we just started doing TV, and it's, you know, just clicked. And then with Paul, you know, the big fella, Paul Cowland, that just clicked as well. And then with you guys, you know, and that doesn't happen often.
No, we got
that
really lucky.
That doesn't happen often. You know?
We got really lucky. And this is the thing, when we describe the show to people, I struggle describing it on social media, you know, sum it up in a couple of sentences, because the thing that for me about the show, it's not just the cars, it's not the people around the cars, it's not just our bond, it's the passion in every frame of that, the way it's been filmed, the way we feel about this and each other. I love it. I'm so proud of our little show.
I think that's what hopefully I think we'll come across. I think that's why it's been a hit on Discovery Plus. It's been a big hit on Discovery Plus. I'm so glad it's going out on Quest now, because Quest, that's a damn good channel.
Mm.
You know, I'm not just saying it because I've been on it for over a decade, but I remember when I first went on it, I'd never heard of it. They had about two original programs on it, and everything else was repeated. repeated stuff. Now they are shining light in TV. You know, there's always something good on it, and they're putting their money where their mouth is, and they're spending money on new programs. It's a damn good program. It's, if you're a petrol head, we're making the program you want to watch, and that's what we always set out to do. And if you're not, you can just watch three idiots having an argument in a racetrack, or somebody's garden,
or setting fire to the racetrack,
scaring each other to death in a car with no seatbelts or brakes,
or just coming seriously, just Thursday night, watch the first episode, or if you need to get on catch up, whatever, just to watch Drew.
Oh no,
this is the Ferrari F40.
It happens twice.
Yeah. Yes,
him trying to either get in or out of an F40.
That is
joy.
So I, at the time of the show first going out on Discovery Plus, Andy had said, you know, try and pick out a couple of episodes. Now, for me, Ferrari F40 is an absolute poster card for me. It's exactly the same age as me. It's the car that I grew up with as the pinnacle of supercars because, of course, it was a Ferrari, bright red, and it was a racing car, ultimately. So for me, I was really keen to watch that show because I love F40s. That was it. What I wasn't expecting to see in that particular episode was
a Welshman giving birth in it.
Yes, or a Ferrari giving birth to a Welshman is probably the easier way to describe it. Because I think it's fair to say, Drew, you're not overly enthusiastic about the prancing horse, are you?
I'm not. This has to be the last time we talk about this. I think Ferraris are phenomenal cars, right? They are, right? They just are. They're extremely good. I adore everything they made up to about 1968.
Right.
I think some of the most, the Lusso, I mean, my God, biting your fist good. I mean, how beautiful is that thing, you know?
250 short wheelbase.
All of the, fabulous. And then they went into the golf club, plastic, Tupperware, naff, red disasters. That I think they were just playing to the crowd and going after the money. And I think they lost their way. And I don't like it. It's what it says. Here we go. I'll get myself banned from every Ferrari dealership in the country. It's what it says about the owner. You know, they're not for me.
I'm enjoying
this. Really, really not for me. I can't say anything.
Morgan,
don't get me started. it's you know, the mock Tudor car. It's not my thing. I can appreciate Ferraris. Today I sat in one.
You did?
A red one. It was a 718 Barchetta 12 812 65 GT. Right, they've just got ridiculous names. You know, it's just like, it's, and then they're talking about, oh, you can't have that one, and the dealer wouldn't sell you this one. You have to be on a list. And da, da, da. Do you know what it is? Golf club and the Masons. Right, that's what it is. It's the golf club and the Masons of cars. Right, it's, oh, I want to be in the gang. Well, you can't be in our gang. You know, I want a red one. You can't have a red one.
That said,
you know, it's a rubbish.
If you only watch one episode of Three Men, Four Wheels, please watch episode one, the Ferrari F40, because it contains one of the funniest moments I've ever had, never mind on camera, particularly the second time Drew tries to get in wearing a crash helmet.
That actually hurt. It really hurt. I've got a properly bad back. I was struggling. You're laughing. Marina went round the other side, crying with laughter, and tried to pull me through by my head. And it was not my greatest moment.
I don't know how they edited it down because it lasted about 17 minutes.
I made a point of this, is once you tell yourself, can I get in there? Can I just straight
in? Marino just gets straight in. Drew has taken the best part of 20 minutes to get in.
I was worried we're going to have to use the jaws of life and destroy this £1.5 million car.
To get me out of it.
Have to make the only convertible F40 in history.
As I said, it wasn't me that did the F40 wrong. It was chips and lager that did it the wrong way.
So we're going to come back to it in a minute. I want to ask each of you your favourite episode. Because Drew's talked about favourite moments. I want to come back to favourite episode in a minute. But there's two things I want to do first. John, sorry to do this, but you've seen it.
Yes.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Is it an all right show?
It's a great show. It really is. And what I'd say to
he's
anyone...
He's not going
to
say anything else at this point, is
it?
He
might do.
No, I can, you know, I can be brutally
angry
honest
from wheels next.
No, what I'd say, if there's anyone listening that hasn't seen it yet, because they haven't seen it on Discovery Plus, and they're now thinking, well, here it comes on Thursday.
Wow, there's a Ford Probe.
There is
many of them.
Yeah,
sorry.
We're a caffeine machine, and we are enjoying the traffic that's cruising past the truck. By the way, yeah, Ford Probe. There's a curious name.
What was that character? Was it Gareth? that Steve Coogan did, who drove the Ford Probe, the salesman. Gareth,
it was. Oh, God.
Gareth Cheeseman.
Yes.
Gareth Cheeseman. Yeah. And he had a Ford Probe, and he remember looking out the window like, that is a thing of beauty. Ford Probe. I haven't seen one of those in 20 years. Look at that.
There it goes.
Right. Is that cool?
Not for me.
Not for me, no.
No.
I mean, if the owner of the Ford Probe is listening,
Well done for saving it.
To be fair, he's driven it up a grassy hill, which
seems to be a lot of parking on the hill going on.
When it's dry.
Special party?
Yeah.
Sorry. In any other place in the world, right, bar Caffeine the Machine, that's dogging.
Just reminds you we're on national radio, Joe.
All right, sorry.
I have a feeling that bit is not going to be on national radio. Don't worry about that. I'm just making a quick note of the 37 minutes. Thank you very much.
Pritchard's dogging
it
reference.
Will be in the podcast. So, hello, podcast listeners. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Right.
I'm telling you, dogging with Drew might work.
Hey.
Well, this
as
is
a
the
show.
Thing
as
got,
a show. Not as anything else.
Got legs.
John, you were saying.
Sorry.
Yes, what I would say is if you are listening to this and you've not yet had an opportunity to see the show and you're hearing the way that these three gentlemen are interacting about the show and about the cars and what you're seeing, it is very much what you can expect to see on the show. The three of you together, there is a dynamic which is very, very real, very, very natural. It's a great show. I said this to Andy on the day that I watched the first couple of episodes. I just wish they were a bit longer. I wish there was another 15, 20 minutes at least, because just as it kind of gets into the swing of it and you think, oh gosh, he's really going to go to town on it, it's like, oh no, it's come to an end.
Well, we have found out, which is nice, that they're going to put double episodes on.
Great.
So Thursday night, 9 o'clock, then the next episode after it.
And it warrants an hour. I think we could have done an hour on each of the cars. I think it warrants an hour for sure.
We'll do it next time. Sure.
What's your favourite
episode?
I can't pick one.
My favourite episode, that's a tricky one. It's a Stovepot special.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a Stovepot special.
I'm surprised.
Is that because you tried to buy it? There were two cars Drew tried to buy.
I thought I could buy it, and then he told me what it was really worth, and I thought, oh, no, I can't.
He told you what it was worth, and also said he wanted to be buried in it.
Yes.
Which made that a slight obstacle.
And he'd already set up where it's going to be sold off and this, that, and the other, and it's completely off. But that's a car that just got under my skin when I first read about it in, I think it was the late 80s I read about that, late 80s on 1990. And I've never forgotten that car as just, for me, pretty much... That and the T35 are everything that cars are to me. Mm. Those two cars epitomise everything I love about the T35 from its just utter excellence and, you know, Teutonic beauty of the thing. You know, there's not a bad line on that car.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant.
Well,
and
just
the
like
Stovepot's just down. It's just a man in a shed. I love that.
Well, and just like John said with the Ferrari F40, you know, John said he loves that car because it's exactly the same age as him. You know, the T35 is the car from your 20s, isn't it?
Yeah, I wish there was. I could have bought one in period. Imagine how much. I remember. I've seen how cheap. I've seen documentaries on guys buying them in the 60s and 70s for hundreds of pounds.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I can still remember when a Mars bar was 10p, so, you know, it dates all of us.
Yeah, it does. But no, the Stovepot. The Stovepot, because, and then meeting Simon as well, and, you know, he had that emotional connection with that car.
It's
got the lot. That's just got everything. That car had everything. And then Reno took it out and properly kicked its ass as well. Had the thing sideways.
Once I pushed it down the hill for
you. Yeah, once we bump started it. Yeah, it was. But yeah, what a thing. What a thing, just in every respect. If I had to sell every car I own and buy that one, that would do it. That
wow,
would, yeah,
that's exciting.
And it had the most incredible backstory as well, didn't it? With various owners and different corners of the world it lived in.
It was a Hollywood movie star.
Yeah,
I love cars that have been, you know, bred for a purpose. You know, the HW as a racing car. Then it went over to the States, used for a film, and basically dumped in a back lot. Suddenly, this car was worth nothing.
Mm.
You know, isn't that wonderful? A car worth nothing can have such an effect on so many people, but particularly somebody like Simon, the owner, who really, I mean, that guy knows about cars, let's be perfectly honest with
you. Just think about the number of manuals he had in his back garage.
Just, and the collection, his cars was such a good collection of cars. I was like, yeah, and what did he drive as his daily 911, obviously. But I mean, he still, you know, he had just a phenomenal choice of cars in there. The ACAC had a Derby, no, he had a Rolls Royce in there, didn't he, as well? And a Corvette, right?
Yes,
he had the big boy flared Corvette and the stove bolt. That, in one of the coolest garages I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. You know, you had to drive around the apple tree to get it out of the garden.
Yeah, it was in his back garden.
It was in his back garden.
It was basically a deluxe shed in the back of a London garden.
Wow. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, incredible. But, yeah, for me, that one. That one was, because that was for me, the car, when we started speaking about the list of cars we wanted to do, that was my number one, straight away. That
Reno?
One. Yeah.
I did enjoy the stove bolt just to see Drew's interaction with the car. His emotion about it was a special thing. There's bits in all of them that I enjoyed. Not so much the hot rod, but anyway, let's move on from that.
But that's what I enjoyed about the hot rod, because we hated it.
Yeah, I did like that as well.
And the fact that we set the track on fire.
It's easy to say the McRae one, just because what it meant to me personally is quite selfish, but it was, that was a bloody hell, yeah. I think about that daily, still, that car.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, what a thing.
Your reaction to it was amazing, and it also contained probably my favourite sequence, where the drone starts in the garage with you.
Oh, that's cool.
And then just follows you out of the pits and then takes a lap of the track, and that was a very
smart. And the noise of it.
Yeah.
Oh, because I'm a huge Impreza fan. I love them. And, God, the noise of that thing. I couldn't go in that one because I got something wrong with my ear and I was feeling a bit off.
So well, they also didn't have a passenger seat.
Oh, there
was
that
challenge.
As well, yeah.
there were a couple of cars we would have joined, but there was no second seat.
We couldn't get in, what was it? We couldn't get in the XJR, was that right? And that one, yeah, I remember.
XJ220.
XJ220, sorry, yeah.
I think as well, having spoke to Dave Richard, who owns ProDrive since, and he saw the program and he really enjoyed it.
Did he?
And that for me was...
Did he? Good.
Was the litmus test, because he would tell me if he didn't like it, he can't help himself. So,
yeah, because I had to interview him, and that I was slightly nervous about that one because he's a dude.
He is a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't need to apologise for anything. Doesn't need to take any prisoners, does he?
No.
Just say whatever he wants. He's done it, seen it. You know, got the T-shirt.
That's the thing is the access we got to these places, and to be honest, there's already people that have seen the show. They're like, well, you should come and see us, and you could drive this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Right. No, that's it. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we do another one of these. I think in some respects, whatever's going to happen, we're definitely going to do it.
No hot rods.
And then I've got a list of hot rods.
Okay.
We're definitely
nickel car with a GT40 engine. We can go to LA, and I can drive.
We can
that.
Do that one. Yes. Cool. I want to do a beach buggy. Or do an original Mayer's Manx beach buggy short wheelbase.
My friend owns that.
No,
he owns Mayer.
He owns Mayer.
So we can.
That's a left of centre choice there, but I want one of those.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Yeah.
Amazing. So we've got to do an ending for the podcast, guys. I mean, I've realised we've done a nice wrap up for the radio.
The radio.
But I think because we're allowed to swear on this,
yeah, that's the point. We opened this podcast. With or maybe before we hit the record button,
yeah,
before
I shouted, you were very
record,
clear, John.
Hit record, Andy, now. There was going to be a swear-off between the Welshman and the Scotsman. So,
actually, I've got, before we do a swear-off, can we, just a quick question, because it's Marino's first ever visit to Caffeine and Machine.
Really?
Is it really?
And Drew, you've only ever been here when you've been on Rohypnol. So what do you guys think about, about this amazing, remarkable, crazy...
I love the Michelin wall.
Yeah,
I like
cool,
the
isn't
mural.
It?
I think it's fabulous. It's good. I don't know who's done it, but they've done a very nice job of that.
I think Dan at Michelin in the UK has done that, and I think the collaboration there's
really.
It was designed by a guy called Jake Yorath, I think. Is that right?
Yes, that is spot on. Yeah,
I think when I first came here, or first heard about it, I didn't get it.
Everybody
caffeine
said
and
that.
Machine.
I didn't get it. I was like, what is it? And is it caffeine and machine? Caffeine and the machine? Caffeine the machine? Caffeine machine? What is it? I didn't get it. It's like, got the string theory guy here, and you can. There's a car inside, and it's this and it's that. It's like, I don't get it. And then I got here, and it was full of cars and petrols and people chatting, and there was guys with loads of Morris Minors, and then there's some Porsches, and then there was some Volkswagens, and then there were some Escort guys and some Ferrari guys, and everybody's chatting. I thought, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
It's a hub. It's like a little homestead for everybody, and it's a brave move for them to do it as well. You know, where do you pick outside of London to do that? Where do you pick? And it's good, it's successful. I'm sat here now, sun's out, There's loads of guys here with cars that have cost very little through to cars that have cost hundreds of thousands, yeah. and everybody sat together chatting, and isn't that a great thing?
Well, and you know what? That's the thing. Before I had first come here, and now a regular, I love coming here all the time, but I was anxious about coming here without some super rare, super exclusive, expensive car. You just kind of go, oh, but everyone's got a really cool car that comes here. Actually, they haven't. No. People come here because there are some crazy cars here to look at them, but there's no expectation that you show up in something spectacular yourself.
No, that's right.
And we've all been the kid who was mad keen on cars who turn up to a car meet in, let's be honest, not a very good car or a very cheap car.
Yeah.
But do you know what? At least you're there.
Do you know, though, it's interesting because the dynamic of what turns up here, is it can be fascinating to watch. Because, I mean, sat here now, we've got the way that we've set up our studio. We're looking at the hill. From left to right, I can see a 300ZX Nissan, an Audi Quattro, it's an Audi 80. There's an E36 3 Series, probably a 328 IS. There's an E46 M3.
What one of those?
There is a yellow Mark II MX-5, there's a blue Mark I MX-5, there's a Clio Defender. 172, and there's a mini, one of these new kind of SUV mini.
And I can see an original Espace from here.
The original Espace, design classic.
Oh, gorgeous.
Absolutely design classic.
The things we used to do with that in Knock Hill, we would take people for the race school out to show them the track in that. And the speed you could carry through the first corner over the crest in that was ridiculous.
And the reaction you've just given there is why I love this place so much. Because the guy that's turned up in that M3, that could be the car that he's always dreamt of owning, but he might get here and see a newer M3 or a rarer one, like a CSL, and think, oh no, mine's not as posh. The guy that's turned up in the Espace, you know, that might be his pride and joy, or he might have just turned up because that's the only car he can afford. And the reaction is, a professional racing driver has just gone, I can see an original Espace, and got genuinely excited about it. Probably more so than the E46 M3 or the bright yellow MX-5 or the Audi 80 Quattro. And
we're all here for one reason, because we just love motors. No matter what they are, we can see the love and appreciation in a Mark 1 MX-5 and an Espace through to Ferraris and M3s. You know, we can appreciate all of it. You could sit down with any of the guys and girls out here and have a chat about cars. And that is what it's all about.
It's also the people that show up as well, as not just the amazing machines. Wayne Burgess, I've just spotted him.
Yes.
You know, design legend. Used to design for Jaguar Land Rover, used to design for Lotus. The rock star. He's just shown up. Top man. And I now know I'm going to have a great conversation with one of my favourite people because he's just shown up here. Yep. I love that.
It was definitely worth the drive. It was.
Yeah.
I think it's always just been that step too far for me to make it up. There's always something else going on. And I'm really happy that I had a nice cruise up here today.
I'm so pleased you're here, man.
It's good. The first time I came here, there was a 356 inside the buildings. They put cars inside. Somebody who's not been here, they put a car inside one section of the building. And then
it's often John's car.
Is it? The ZM?
Yes, that's wicked. Lived in there a few times.
That's one of my favourite cars. Yeah. And then my mate Wayne actually built the bar here.
That's right.
Oh, cool.
Wayne built the bar, you know, Intergalactic Customs, you know, he built the bar, the alloy bar here. It's got it all. It's got it. And you know what? Hats off to anybody who has a go and tries something different. And it's worked.
And I'm just looking at the people. You know, look at our little table of legends. You know, we've got Phil and Amber and Ken and Laura and Rich just hanging out, ready to chat and party and eat burgers. And, well, I mean, Drew, you've already had a couple of burgers, haven't you?
Another
one on the way.
Well, I've got to drive back to Wales after this. I don't know how far it is, but a few hours.
It's 6 days.
Yeah. Let's hope not. As I say, hats off to the guys. Was it Phil McGovern who's created this?
Phil McGovern is the creator. Yeah, Phil and Dan Macken partnered up in Dubai, of all places, and two Brits in Dubai, and the concept has made its way here.
Caffeine and machine. Mm. And do you know what? Why not? They can only ever expand on this. They're only going to do something more. They can do other things. You know, and they've created a brand, and I know how difficult that is to create a brand. A lot of creating a brand is not creating a brand.
You know, like we were saying about Singer.
Creating a feeling and a place you want to be.
And here we are.
Yeah, I love it. Did you want to have that swear off because it's a podcast?
Oh, yeah, go for it. I've got to make the decision of, shall I do comedy beeps or do we mark the episode as explicit and give perhaps the opportunity for anyone that might be in a car
with little ones or
no,
little
please,
ears.
Please, comedy beeps because I've got an 8-year-old and
yeah.
When it's
okay, right. Well, this is going to be an absolute nightmare for me to edit. So, fire away.
Get on with it, you. Sick, Drew. I can't believe you went with that. I was just sat. No, I was just about to say something terrible. About
fill your boots, you giant.
Exactly. Breath. Drew won that one. Well done, Drew.
Yeah. He was competing with himself.
I know I can't compete against a Scotsman in swearing. I think the Wales, we do a very good job of swearing in Wales, but the Scots just nail it.
Billy Connolly says you can't. They're just descriptive words. You can't teach someone
to
go away.
Yeah.
Or say, oh,
yeah. That's true. That is true.
It is. There's nothing like the Welsh off is good, but. Is brilliant. That is brilliant.
I'm just looking forward to the beeps because you could have used any accent you want. It all still sounds like.
Well, I love swearing, and obviously you've asked me to swear now, and I don't feel I can.
No,
strange.
Yeah, that's true. I've never seen you.
It's like building
like
your brand.
This.
See, we're trying to force it. It's not.
Yeah, it's like performance anxiety.
Yeah. Guys, it's been an absolute joy. Thank you for coming. Joining us.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Driven Chat. We appreciate it. Check out
thanks.
Our show.
And Three Men, Four Wheels.
Yep,
Quest,
Three Men, Four Wheels.
Thursday nights. Yep. Watch it. Thank you very much.
You
and that's on Quest. 9 p.m. No swearing. Your grand old love it.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital. You dream it, we bring it to life. Find out more at drivenchat.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, wow. You've made it to the end. The very end. And it's John Markar here again, reminding you that this podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now run its course and has come to an end. To find the new format, search the Driven podcast in your preferred podcast app or head on over to the website driven.site to find some quick and easy links through to the new episodes in the new formats on your preferred apps. Thanks. Bye.